Well, ladies, welcome back to the table. We are now in our Bible study segment. I think it is the most important part of our program when we get to open up God's Word. We're in the book of Genesis, and today we're in lesson number 23. Ladies, so if you're following along, we're in actually Genesis chapter 12 today, and our teacher, Connie Stampfel, is here with us. Hi, Connie.
Hello, Amy.
Welcome back. And you know, we are studying Abram today.
Yes, we're really going to get into what God is going to do through Abram and make him a blessing to all people.
All right, and we're going to take this story and actually go for a few days with this.
Yes, well, Abram's going to occupy the central part of Genesis, and so we're going to learn a lot about this man.
Well, here's what's going to happen, ladies. I'm going to read the text that we're studying today, and then Connie is going to teach. And so here we go, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and to him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, and Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all of their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At the time the Canaanites were in the land, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord, and Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negeb.
Thank you, Amy. Here we have in chapter 12, a change in direction, because Genesis 1 through 11, we've heard about creation, we heard about the fall, we've heard about the multiplication of sin and culture and man's evil and how man's turning away from God. And then we also had the flood. And then even after the flood, we find again right away sin is popping up again, and people are not doing what would please God. And we find here that God really jumps into human history, and he calls a certain man, Abram, has him leave his home and has him go to a special place because God is going to do something great through this man. So as we go to the text, we find it says, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. So first we find that God is going to call and use Abram, but it involves a command. Abram actually needs to pack up and move and go. And so that's one thing Abram needs to do. And then the second thing is God says to him, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. The second of God's commands to Abram is be a blessing. Literally, that's what it says. And it's always through God's operation that that's going to happen, and only God can enable Abram to be a blessing. But Abram has the part of participating with God. And what a beautiful thing to see God interacting in history. And as we go through this text, we're going to see how this ultimately is going to culminate in Jesus Christ and the blessing he will be to all people of all nations. Going on, though, God tells Abram that he says, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so we find out here that God is promising that whoever blesses Abram is the same as blessing Abram's God, but anyone who curses or dishonors or thinks lightly of Abram is going to be cursing Abram's God, and that will be a bad thing for those people. And we find that truly this still goes on today, because God still has the descendants of Abram, and God does bless them for his purposes. Here we find that God really has a plan and a purpose for Abram, and ultimately, again, it's to be blessing, and that flows through us. I'm just going to read a scripture I thought of as I was coming into the station this morning, and it really speaks to what God does in our lives too. And this is Psalm 67, verses 1 and 2. And it's a prayer, and it says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, that your way may be known on earth and your saving power among all nations." That's what God's purpose was for Abram, and it's God's purpose for every single one of us believers.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's just really cool. So then verse 4, we find that Abram goes, as the Lord told him, and also Lot went with him. Lot is his nephew. And we find out Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, northern Mesopotamia, to go to Canaan, the area of Palestine, the area of Israel. And it says, Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions they had gathered, and the people they'd acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. And when they came to the land in Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the Oak of Moreh. And interestingly, back then, they didn't have signposts or highways quite like we did. I mean, they did have highways or travel routes, but they often identified places by large trees or other landmarks. And so this was a place that was known to people. And then we find here that the Canaanites were in the land. And we know that they're wicked people. We've seen that before as we were talking through the last few chapters of Genesis. And then we see in verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said," and so here Abram has a visitation from the Lord and sees something new. God is revealing more to him. Abram's already taken God at his word, and he's left his home, and he's gone to where God told him to be, and now God is going to reveal something else to him. God says, "To your offspring I will give this land." And then it says, "From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord." This is very important because Abram has moved into the land and he's now worshiping the Lord God in the land and calling on the name of the Lord. And truly, that's what we do also as believers in Jesus Christ. When we call on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are trusting him to cover our sins. That means we've turned from our sin, we've turned to Christ, and we're trusting. And in a sense, that's what Abram's doing. As best he knows of God, he is calling on the name of the Lord. And then it says, "And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev." And so we have Abram kind of traveling through this promised land that God gave him. He's just a traveler. He doesn't own any of it yet, but God is already working in and through him to allow him to travel and to set foot on the land. And so it's going to come that God is going to work in and through that for those people. But we're going to go back and read a few other scriptures because in the New Testament, this gets expanded and we have a greater understanding of what it is Abram was traveling to. Even though we know throughout his lifetime, Abram actually never really owned a large chunk of this land. It never was really his. It was promised to him and to his descendants. So our first passage you're going to read is from Hebrews.
Yes, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tent with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God."
Thank you, Amy. And so here the writer of Hebrews is reminding us of God's ultimate purpose in what he's doing in this world, and that is to recreate his kingdom, to restore what we lost in Eden, and it's going to happen through Abram, and it starts with this call to Abram. And so we have, one, this first promise of God to Abraham, or Abram, and then there's two more. One is that Abram himself will be blessed, and truly as we go through the rest of Genesis, I think we're going to see that it's God's presence with Abram and his protection and his provision. And it's all because God has called him and is going to use this man to bring about God's purpose in the world. And then we also see that God tells Abram that he's going to make his name great. And we have to contrast that with the tower builders of Babel from chapter 11, because they desired to make their name great. And here God is going to raise up a man who's going to come to humbly know him and obey him. And then finally, we also see that God promises to bless those who bless Abram and to curse those who curse Abram. And truly what people are doing as God's chosen person, they are either blessing or cursing Abram's God. And so that's a theme we've seen throughout Scripture about through Genesis here about how God, the place of blessing is to be in God's presence and to be obeying God and following after him. And then the place of cursing is to be away from God and choosing one's own way, the way of sin. And then we also see that finally, again, in Abram, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And we know that it's ultimately through his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that will happen. And we have some scriptures from the New Testament where Paul writes and just expands on this and helps us understand what that blessing is.
Yes. Let's see. We've got Galatians 3, chapter 3, verse 14. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. And again, Romans 15, verses 8 through 9, for I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name.
Yes, and so God's ultimate purpose, again, is being fully explained to us, but it starts here with Abram and his obedience, because we see that Abram went. He took God at his word. He left Haran. He took his wife and Lot and his possessions, and he went to where God told him to be. And truly, we know that faith leads to obeying God, God's word. And we also know that Abram, elsewhere in Scripture, is going to be called God's friend. And to be God's friend means to understand who God is and to exhibit loyalty to God so that you actually do what God says. It's not an optional type thing. It's you understand who the God of the universe is. And there's a scripture in Isaiah which tells us a little bit more about what that looks like.
Yes, it's actually Isaiah 41, verse 8. But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend.
Yes, and what a beautiful title or beautiful name to be called God's friend. And again, it starts with Abram's faith, which leads to his obedience, taking God at his word and acting. And then we know that after Abram got into the land, it says God appeared to him. And so again, God is continuing to reveal himself to Abram in new ways, a step of faith, and God shows him something more. And I think that truly happens in our own lives as we take God at his word. Then he reveals more of himself.
Amen. I love that.
And then we find Abram responds, because in our scripture reading today, it says Abram built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. That means he's proclaiming who God is, and he's worshiping God in this land God has promised to give to his descendants.
Oh. Thank you, Connie, for teaching this today. And ladies, if you're looking for the notes for Lesson 23, you can find those on our website at naomistable.com, along with this 10-minute podcast. Go and download that and share it with your friends. Nancy and I will be back in just a moment to talk more about what we just heard.